A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com. Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff here.
This is Rich Swann.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
Support Ollie. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Home of Luke Owen. Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Luke Owen is. Quote the Raven. Nevermore.
WrestleTalk Rumble. No one's live.
Hello and welcome to the WrestleTalk podcast. I am Chopper Pete Cornell. This week I am joined by Randy Andy Datsun.
Hi Pete, nice to be here.
Yeah, I was going to say Sunny California. What's that from? I feel like that's a reference. To be here in Sunny California.
I don't know references.
No, nor do I really. Anyway, on this show today, we're going to be talking about another NXT calling up, another NXT call-up happening on SmackDown. Here's the show. Let's talk about this Forgotten Sons debut on SmackDown, because I didn't know it was happening. Maybe I missed some part of news or something that happened, but I didn't know this call-up was coming, and I was a bit like, the Forgotten Sons? That's a weird choice for an NXT call-up, simply because I feel like they haven't done everything they can do in NXT. I feel like there's better factions, tag teams, everything in NXT who've done a lot more, who would be more, you know, an obvious choice to bring up to the main roster. But I was pleasantly surprised to see the Forgotten Sons. And they had a match against the Lucha House Party, which was not a squash match, which again, honestly, I kind of prefer that it wasn't, simply because I'm really kind of bored of squash matches, and it would be the same debut as literally every other faction in the history of the world, apart from the Nexus and the Shield. But other than those, it would be the same NXT call-up all the time. And it's like we had it on Raw when Nia Jax came back. It's like, squash match. Sheamus is still here. Squash matches. I don't need to see more squash matches. So I was quite pleasantly surprised that this wasn't. And I thought it was actually a really fun match. I thought there was like barely any rest holds at all. It was quite fun. It was fast. Lucha House Party are great at doing that kind of fast, innovative, flippy offense. And Forgotten Sons really complimented that quite well, I thought. This was probably the most fun I've had watching Forgotten Sons in ever, I want to say. Maybe since the Dusty Classic matches.
I knew this was coming. I don't know why, but I was told or saw early this week that it was coming, so I wasn't surprised to see it. It was fine. I get what you mean about it being a slightly different debut to the rest of the factions, but similarly, it feels like it could have been a squash match just because it's the Lucha House Party. No one cares about them. And I feel like they could have had Ryker in the match. I know he's the kind of guy who stands sentinel at the side looking a bit scary and muscly and things like that. But yeah, I mean, having watched them in NXT, I can't say that I was overly excited about seeing them. But that's just because they kind of started slightly hot and then very quickly faded into stay forgotten chants from the fans. They don't feel like a kind of star power team. I feel like what's going to happen is there'll be a team for a few weeks, maybe a few months, and then Vince will spot that there's a big, muscly, hairy man at ringside, and they will quite quickly turn him into the single star and have the other two just become any other tag team. I thought what they could have done instead of just having this match was them possibly wait till next week. I imagine this will still happen, but I imagine they're going to interfere in next week's triple threat match. That kind of just gives a bit more of a oomph rather than announcing. Oh, by the way, next up, it's the Forgotten Sons. You probably don't know who they are, but it's the Forgotten Sons. I also didn't like how they shout, "We're forgotten no more," before hitting their pretty lame finisher. For what I feel should be a kind of hardcore team, it's sort of like a, I'm going to hold you while my mate jumps and stomps on you a bit. I don't know. I'm a bit of a sucker for good finishers, and I didn't think this was one.
No, it's not the most exciting thing in the world, but I mean, what I quite liked from this match was it showed off that the Forgotten Sons can be quite a good tag team, because I think if they did a squash match, it wouldn't really showcase what they could do, because like you said, they don't have the greatest finisher in the world or anything like that. So if they came out, did a big boot, and then their finisher, people would be like, eh. But at least we got to see more of their offense and more of what they can do in this tag match, which I thought, again, was quite fun. So I quite liked this debut. I thought it was quite effective in what it needed to do. And like I said, I think it was probably the most fun I've had watching Forgotten Sons in a long time. So maybe the main roster is just a better fit for them than NXT was. Maybe they're just more apt to that sort of style.
It's interesting, because now that they've got NXT Live on Wednesdays, they're not going to be doing the call-ups that we sort of have seen in previous years. They're not going to be we're not going to get Kevin Owens, Shinsuke Nakamura like popping up, just because that's not how they do it anymore. NXT is its own brand in that sense. We'll still get now and then we'll get a call-up, like we've got Shayna Baszler and things like that, but they'll only really be, I think, once either they feel like they've got nothing more to do, so Shayna done everything, or that they've just completely lost the momentum that they had in NXT and they need basically a new sort of a new page in their book, which I think was the kind of crap about them in NXT. So maybe they're going to give more of a crap about them on SmackDown. And it was quite nice to see them come out to silence rather than to people booing and shouting, "You stay forgotten," and things like that. While I'm not all that thrilled about seeing them, they deserve a second chance to kind of be the team that they probably can be. I mean, they're all talented guys. I do think Ryker is going to be seen as the star.
I think rightfully so.
By sort of SummerSlam. By SummerSlam, I think we will see him being a single star, which is fine, because I don't think Vince is all that high on sort of six-man tags. I think he's much more of a tag man guy.
He's much more of a singles guy than he is even a tag guy. So.
A guy like that just standing at ringside instead of getting involved, I don't think Vince is going to be too high on. So,
totally.
I think you could see even maybe Ryker somehow kind of insert himself in the Money in the Bank match. Just to kind of get the team over well. We got a lot of kind of Money in the Bank teases, Money in the Bank kind of previews in this show. So,
Overall, though, I thought it was pretty good. The thing I liked about this show as a whole is it generally made me not necessarily excited for stuff that's coming, but I do want to watch more SmackDown to see what's going to happen. So,
yeah, absolutely.
And that's an unusual thing. So,
there are not necessarily new feuds, but it felt like more of a cohesive show. There were a few video packages, there were a few WrestleMania recaps, but that's to be expected on the kind of show following WrestleMania. It was an actual 2-hour show of segments wrestling. It was a full show rather than here's three quarters of a show, and here's a match that you forgot happened.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So Forgotten Sons now seemingly on SmackDown full time.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
We now need to say thank you to some very special people, and those are our $25 and above pledge hammers on Patreon. If you've not gone over to WrestleTalk's Patreon yet, why not? There's loads of bonus content for you to binge listen to during times such as these. Loads of retro pay-per-view reviews with Ollie and Luke on the WrestleTalk Extra, and you get WrestleTalk After Dark at the $10 here as well, which is our rambly, sweary nonsense podcast where some of us gather around and have drinks and do weird topics of conversation. But if you pledge at the $25 or above tier, you get your own custom wrestling name and it gets read out on a show just like this one. So thank you to Joseph, Starsky and McCutcheon.
Martin, Santo, you're talking to me.
Hey, thank you. Probocop.
Yes.
Thank you.
The monster among Patreons, Brian Strowman.
Hey, it's topical because Universal Champion. The real boss, Matt Robinson. Woo!
I think he's talking to you, Damian Thompson. I said that wrong, but I'm going to go with it.
That's fine. They drew first blood, not me, Grace Rambo.
Name, Grace. How do you like them apples, Marcel Jura?
Oh, what a great name.
What a loving man as well.
Sayonara, Ken Grant.
Goodbye. Flaccid Kraken, Joe Gianella.
What a great name. Thank you very much. Brett the Hitman, Matthew Williams.
That is really good. And, of course, the mayor of Painesville, Dan.
Dan, yes. Thank you very much. So let's get into reviewing the whole show. And I'm sure the person smashing plates in the background is really excited for the rest of this review as well. the show started off with Braun Strowman, the new Blue Universal Champion, coming down and celebrating his victory over Goldberg at WrestleMania before he's interrupted by none other than Shinsuke Nakamura, which I thought was, it made sense because Braun is the one who beat Shinsuke for the Intercontinental Championship, and it's something that Shinsuke is, you know, not forgotten. Notable by their absence were Sami Zayn and Cesaro at this point. And I was like, wait, they haven't broken up Sami, Cesaro, and Nakamura, have they? I thought they just, like, can it and never mention it again. I got quite worried. But Shinsuke comes down, cuts a promo by himself. I thought he didn't speak English, according to Vince McMahon anyway, right? But they let him cut a promo, and he was saying...
Of course, he did chuck him in a bit of Japanese, just because you need to remember that he is foreign, so you want to...
Yeah. He's Japanese, that. So you got to remember, he's not English, guys. He cuts promo on Braun, just saying that he wants to fight him because he beat the Intercontinental title, blah, 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 blah. But apparently it was all a ruse, because Cesaro was materialized behind Braun, but then Braun immediately spotted him and then pushed him out the ring. And then Shinsuke did a kick to Braun, which made him mildly dazed, and then Shinsuke went away. And I was like...
Yeah, I thought he sold it a bit much for a kick. Yeah. I mean, I don't think anyone's kidding themselves at this point that Nakamura's got any chance. But he, at least there was a kind of... he had a reason for coming out. He's like, the last time we saw you, we were beating you. So there was the kind of... At least a bit of storyline. It wasn't just like a... Here's a person.
Exactly.
So that wasn't a big show. No, exactly. I'm glad it wasn't the big show. But yeah, I mean, as we saw later in the show, that the kind of this was just to put Braun over ahead of a new feud, which we will discuss later.
Yes. After that, we got a WrestleMania rematch in the form of Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross versus the Kabuki Warriors for the Women's Tag Team Championships. I thought this was a fine match. This was fun. Wasn't anything bad about it per se. I just don't really think we needed to see it particularly.
No, not really. Especially as they kind of teased a new feud later on between Bliss and Cross and another team. But it's just a shame. It's just a shame that Sane has to take the pin again because they're really making her look like a sucker.
A little bit, but it's to be expected. If she is going to be leaving WWE, it's to be expected, really.
Pete, they're making her
I got it. I enjoyed a couple of botched lines from Michael Cole in this one. Cross is ecstatic. She's finally a champion in WWE. She's a former tag team champion.
I'm not going to do the voice because...
You have other people around.
Exactly. I have other people around. So I'm not going to be screaming in that silly accent. So don't worry.
But good one, Cole. She's a former tag team champion, and she's ecstatic to finally be a champion in WWE. Mm. Good job, Cole. And there was also a point where Asuka goes for an armbar, and Cole goes, "It's the Asuka lock." It's definitely not, Cole.
I thought that was weird. I mean, to be honest, any submission move that she does seems to be, it's the Asuka lock, because she's called Asuka, and it's a lock. But it was fine. It was a fine match. But yeah, like you said, we didn't need to see this.
No, not really.
Because we saw this last weekend. I would have much preferred, I don't know, you could have just built someone else, just have an exhibition match. Instead, you could have just had them do their backstage promo as they did later on about how excited they were. But there you go.
We'll talk about that backstage segment now. Later on, there was it was those two being all happy backstage, Bliss and Cross, and then Dana Brooke and Carmella come in, the best well-known tag team, and they say, "Hey, we didn't get to wrestle at WrestleMania, so we want a match with you, please." And then they say, "No." Yeah. And then Cross is like, "We should talk about it." And then they talk about it. And then Brooke and Carmella are waiting, being like, "I hope they do it." And then they come back and then they say, "Yeah, okay." I was very confused by this segment. Was it supposed to be funny? Because I don't think it was.
There was a lot of avoiding or it was kind of don't mention the war kind of thing. Mm. Like, they were like, oh, we didn't have a match because we weren't there. And then The Miz in the segment later was like, I was injured.
Yeah.
There was just a lot of kind of like, oh, yeah, we weren't there for reasons. Okay, bye. I mean, everyone knows why they weren't there. I would have preferred it if they'd just gone. We weren't there. But, yeah, I mean, there is no way that Dana Brooke and Carmella are going to win this feud. They are not a team. They are not a team that anyone is excited about seeing. But unfortunately, the women's tag division is bare bones.
Very much so.
I mean, who else is there?
I mean, there isn't even Fire and Desire anymore because they've broken up. So, like,
no, I mean, I thought the whole point was that kind of Asuka. I mean, isn't Asuka on the Kabuki Warriors a Raw act?
Yes.
Yeah. So,
women's tag titles technically can float between brands.
Yeah, I know. But I would have just thought that they would, that instead of having people come over to SmackDown, have them appear on other brands. That would seem to make more sense, but you know, or just have teams kind of cut promos and go, well, we're now that they're the champions, we think we deserve a chance because we've done this and this. But there are just, who is there? I mean, like you said, the Iconics, but where have they been?
I mean, they probably can't make it to taping for a while. I think they're probably in elsewhere. I don't know where, but traveling is not the easiest thing. I don't know, maybe. But yeah, there's slim pickings for challenges, but hey ho, what can you do?
It's kind after of like that, here are two women we're not using.
Pretty much. Franken team. After the match, it was Elias did another song from the same perch again. I was like, "What are you doing, Elias? Do you not remember what happened last time?"
But he kind of mentions that though. He's like, "This is where I was when my he tried to end my career." Probably one of his most tuneful songs, even if it was just kind of like
actually all right, you know.
It was like, "Dethrone the King, don't doubt me, I return like Simba," basically, and I'm going to be entering the Money in the Bank match, or I'm going to try and enter, because he didn't set, like, there was no official confirmation, but he heavily suggested that he will be in the Money in the Bank match.
Pretty much, yeah.
Which
is good, yeah. And something else that got set up on this show, well, I say set up, something that was announced on this show, was they are going to be doing Money in the Bank qualifying matches, which I am a big fan of.
Yeah,
please do that all the
Daniel
time.
Daniel Bryan against Cesaro.
Daniel Bryan and Cesaro is going up for next week, and Naomi versus Dana Brooke, I think, is also next week for the women's one, which is, like, it might not be the most exciting match in the world. However,
but at least you have to earn your spot.
Earn your spot in the Money in the Bank match. Yeah, please. Yeah. Please do. So hopefully we can see Elias in a qualifying match at some point, probably against Corbin, let's be real, because when can they ever drop feuds? But yeah, the song itself was pretty good. One of Elias's best.
Yeah, exactly.
After that, we get a recap of literally the best story in literally the best story in wrestling history.
Yes.
Otis versus Mandy Rose versus... Otis.
Come on, Pete, you can do this.
Mandy Rose. But then after that recap of that WrestleMania moment, Sonya Deville and Dolph Ziggler come out and they berate Michael Cole and Corey Graves. Corey Graves back on commentary, by the way, which was a nice addition because I can't deal with just Cole. And they come out and they berate Cole and Graves for kind of making light of the situation and making jokes about it and things like that. And they say, we know what's best for Mandy. We just need to talk to her. But instead of Mandy, Tucker comes out and he's like, hey, man, in a nice kind of reversal of the segment a few weeks ago, he was like, here's some pictures of Mandy being really happy with Otis this time.
In a parking lot.
And they're working out. Don't question it.
That's where I go on all my dates. I go to parking lots and I do
weights. They weren't dating. They were working out together.
Well,
very different.
That's still a nice coupley activity. But yeah, no, he comes out and goes, oh, I see you're still smitten with Otis's kitten, which is a weird way of saying it.
It's what Dolph said in the segment a few weeks ago. So it was a reverse of that. He said it back to him.
Nice. Oh, psych.
Yeah.
So yeah, but this was basically like just to set up another match between Dolph and Tucker, which I was almost certain Tucker was going to win. He did not. He lost so clean and without any real distraction from Sonya.
Right, but I think you're missing the important bit here, which was that Tucker was amazing. God, I love Tucker so much.
He's good. He's great. But I, again, another surprise was that Otis and Mandy didn't help him at all. They were just like, no, is that a thing now? Are they just not a team? Or is that just like, are they going to be doing more single stuff from now on?
Okay. So we have very differing opinions of this segment, because I thought this was a home run segment. I thought this was brilliant because Tucker, his intensity in this match, he was working really stiff. He was constantly like, trash-talking Ziggler, throwing him into the steps, hitting these really like stiff clotheslines. And I was like, this is fantastic. This is great stuff from Tucker to put over that emotion of Ziggler like screwing him up last week, hitting that zigzag on the steps, which looked like a nasty bump to take.
Yeah.
I bought into Tucker's kind of intensity and his emotion going into it, which was awesome. And then Ziggler, who was really on the back foot, just managed to sneak out a victory by Tucker kind of posting himself, and he hit a super kick and just kind of fell on him for the win.
Yeah.
And I really like that because Ziggler should be winning over a tag team guy, really. It does make sense for him to win. And it still kind of furthers that feud between Otis and Tucker and Mandy and Sonya and Dolph. So I don't know where that's going to end up eventually. I don't know whether if Rude can get there eventually. Maybe they're going to do that six-man tag that they wanted to do at Mania. But like, I thought this was a good way to carry on the feud. It let Tucker shine a little bit. Even, you know, coming up short, he still looked really good in defeat. I thought this was great. I thought it was awesome. And, you know, Otis and Mandy working out and not coming to help was probably because they were busy working out and being a couple. I don't know what they were doing. But I liked it.
Yeah, I mean, it was the classic kind of big man gets really, really fired up. Big man misses spear into corner, which results in big man losing. It wasn't a bad match at all. That's not what I'm saying.
I thought great.
I just, I don't know. I thought that it was just slightly anticlimactic to have. I know it was kind of like very heely kind of weaseling his way out of it. So yeah, definitely wasn't a bad segment at all. But I was just surprised with the outcome. I was surprised that Otis didn't come to help, and I was also surprised that Sonya didn't really try to interfere. I just thought that would be the way to kind of cement them as a kind of evil partnership.
I think that probably would have been the trigger for Otis and Mandy to come and help was if Sonya was getting involved, but because she barely did. I think there was once where she distracted the ref and Dolph like did a thumb to the eye or something. That was quite early in the match though. So maybe they just didn't come to help because they didn't think they needed to because they believed in Tucker. I don't know. And also, if I'm going to do an interpretation of what was done here, the pictures that Dolph showed Otis before of him and Mandy together was of them being all pretty and going out and being all glamorous and stuff. And the pictures that Tucker has been shown was of them just being people and working out and just being average people. It's a more babyface thing to do. It's showing how Mandy has come to the side of just kind of working out and being a person rather than looking the glamour model type thing.
Blue collar babe or something.
Exactly, yeah. I thought this was great. I'm really looking forward to seeing more of this feud. After that, it was time for the extended finish of the tag title ladder match from WrestleMania, which they showed. And then they did an in-ring live dirt sheet with Miz and Morrison. I thought it was pretty funny.
Lots of things are good news. They start to sing their song, which was interrupted by the Usos. And you'll never guess who's going for the tag titles again.
It is genuinely shocking.
It's the same three teams that have been going for the tag titles for the past 6 months. The last team to hold these belts that wasn't one of these teams was the Revival, and we know what happened to them now. It's fine, but I'm not excited to see this match again.
I mean, I am, because it's three really good people, because they're doing what they set up.
Hang on.
Need to actually say what the match is. So they set up the inverse of the WrestleMania match. So you had the three singles stars out of the three tag teams going for the tag titles at WrestleMania. They're doing the opposite tag team members going for the titles next week, I think they said, which is Big E, The Miz, and Jey Uso this time going in a triple threat match for the tag titles once again. So I like this. I'm excited because it's going to be a good match. I mean, that ladder match at WrestleMania I thought was awesome. I thought it was really, really fun. The finish was a bit, but the match itself was really, really fun. I'm looking forward to seeing what these three can do. And what else are they going to do for the tag titles? I mean, you've got the Forgotten Sons now. Maybe they'll get involved, but like, what other tag teams are there?
Now that the Revival are gone, you've got one less team to go for it. There aren't actually that many teams to kind of
Lucha House Party.
I know you're saying that as a joke, but yeah, I mean, you can't really have them go for it. They're not a team really at the moment that anyone's going to give a monkeys about. Rude and Ziggler aren't a team at the moment.
They don't have a Rude, so
yeah, exactly. So there are a limited amount of people, I guess. I do think the Miz is going to win next week, but where I just don't know where they go from there. Do they just do the Usos, or do they just do the New Day again? I just can't see what they're going to do unless they just want to keep doing
six-man tags
or kind of nine-man tags or whatever.
I mean, I don't know where they're going to go, but honestly, I don't know if they have a choice. So I think they might just have to keep doing the same feud, and I honestly can't be too mad about that because they don't have much.
I think they might do is kind of have them keep wrestling as single stars, maybe try and get this sort of just keep doing this until they've got everyone back. Maybe have Morrison enter Money in the Bank so that Miz doesn't have to defend. They don't have to defend at Money in the Bank. Kind of keep making excuses for them to not have to defend. And just sort of have them be single stars, maybe. Yeah, just to have them enter these matches as single stars so that they don't have to kind of put the titles on the line. And it kind of is a ready-made excuse to have them weasel out of having to defend their belts.
Totally, yeah. After that segment, we get that match set up for next week. We get the Forgotten Sons Lucha House Party match that we talked about earlier. We get that backstage promo with Bliss and Cross and Carmella and Dana Brooke that we mentioned before. And then Banks and Bayley come out to celebrate Bayley's title retention at WrestleMania. They come out and they gloat, and Bayley says they've got two words for their haters. And then Sasha Banks looks directly at Bayley and says, "Screw you." It's like, I'm sure that message was definitely meant for the haters and not for Bayley.
Yeah, they're doing a pretty good job of building this whole thing. So they were interrupted by Tamina,
your favorite person.
They are using. Do you know what they are doing? They are using the fact that there is no crowd to push Tamina because, genuinely, I think that's what they're doing. Because her reaction is so, it's not even negative. It's just so,
it's indifference.
It's so indifferent that now that there is no one to react, I think they're going to push her.
And you know what though? She cut the best promo she's ever cut. The bar for that is very low, but
I can't remember a single promo she's ever cut. It was the best promo I can remember of hers.
Yeah.
But basically she said, "Hey, you didn't beat me. All of you beat me. You took all of you to pin me," which is fine. Which is a kind of classic big person move. But Bayley goes, "Hey, do you know what? You can have your match if you can beat Sasha." And Sasha's like, "What? I didn't agree to this." Kind of sowing the seeds. I mean, the seeds have been sown already. The plant is growing.
It's germinating.
It is germinating. So it's basically Tamina saying, "Hey, Bayley, do you want Samoa?" She's from Samoa.
That's bad. Because it sounded like you just said s'more, which is a very different thing.
"Hey, Bayley, do you want some s'mores?" I've never had a s'more.
Different. I've had s'mores.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Pretty good. Pretty good, mate.
Pretty crazy content. So next week we're going to get Tamina against Sasha Banks. I imagine Tamina will win maybe set up a match, or maybe maybe Bayley will interfere, and then Tamina will go, well, do you know what? I'm going to enter the Money in the Bank match, and then I'll win the briefcase so that I can face you or something like that.
That's not a bad shout. I could see it where Tamina wins because Bayley has an opportunity to interfere and doesn't.
Yeah.
And she could save Sasha if she doesn't.
Or she tries to interfere and then gets scared off by Tamina.
Or she gets ejected, maybe. Yeah. Something like that. Yeah, some sort of way to continue the Banks-Bayley eventual blow-up. After that, Sheamus squashes local talent Cal Bloom, who I'm reliably informed is Matt Bloom's son, who is Albert A-Train.
Yes, the hairiest man in the world.
Yeah.
When he wants to be.
Yes. After that, we get this weird moment, I think, which I think is actually kind of subtle storytelling, which is the commentary after that match are talking about the next segment they're going to, which is a Jeff Hardy documentary hype package type thing. And as they're talking about his return to WWE, Sheamus is there and just kind of glares at the commentary team for a minute and then walks off. So yeah. I assume we might be getting a Sheamus Jeff Hardy feud once he comes back.
Yeah, Sheamus will go, I came back and no one cared about that. Mm. And then but this guy comes back, this guy comes back. And then
So you wouldn't do Nikki Cross, but you do that.
The person was Scottish who was in my flat.
Oh,
I didn't want to offend anyone.
But you're fine with offending the viewers who are also Scottish.
Yes, absolutely.
Nice.
They're not here. They can't hit me. and then we got this Jeff Hardy package, which was fun.
It was really good, I thought.
A few minutes of kind of just reminding us. Not that we really needed it, but reminding us who Jeff Hardy is, where he came from. For me, it kind of went, look, this is everything that he's done. He is probably nearing the end of his career. The way he has wrestled does not kind of sort of lend itself to a person, someone who can wrestle into their 50s. I mean, what is he now? He's early 40s.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, so I can see him probably having, maybe I can see him seeing out his WWE career and then maybe just doing indies again. Or he might be someone who goes, you know what, it's a cushy living. If I just say to WWE, well, I've had an offer from AEW, then they'll go, well, here's money and a 5-year contract. He can say, okay, but I don't want to wrestle that much. My body's a bit broken down.
Just do a part-time deal.
Can bring me out when I need to jump off something.
Yeah, totally. So reportedly, he's going to be getting a big push when he comes back to try and stop him going to AEW. Whether that will work or not, I don't know. But I thought this video package was quite cool. And if we get that for a Sheamus Jeff Hardy feud, it might be good. Who knows? I'm sure Hardy can sell a bro kick pretty well.
Yes.
After that, we get some announcements for the next few weeks. There's going to be a Triple H 25-year celebration in 2 weeks. Sure. I'm sure Triple H needs celebrating more. We get Daniel Bryan versus Cesaro in a Money in the Bank qualifier next week. We get Naomi versus Dana Brooke in a Money in the Bank qualifier. And we get Sonya Deville trying to clear the air with Mandy Rose also next week.
Wow.
Which I'm quite looking forward to personally.
Yeah.
Then we get the main event, which was Braun Strowman versus Shinsuke Nakamura. Braun Strowman dominated about 95% of this match and then won with a power slam.
Yes. This happened and I was like, oh, there's still 5 minutes to go. What's going on here? I don't know why I didn't see this coming, but I didn't. And on comes...
You don't know why you didn't see this coming.
I don't get it. Firefly Funhouse started, and it was what you'd kind of expect between these two. It was, remember, I'm the person who brought you into this world, like almost like I'm your mum, and I'm the one who's going to take you out of it. And Braun kind of sort of didn't no sell it, but he sort of went, yeah, right, come on then,
yeah, all right.
Braun kind of did the whole Wyatt thing. He sort of said, oh, I'm going to let me in.
Whenever you want, I'm ready to let you in.
Oh, yeah, that's the one. Sorry.
Okay.
I'm glad you were watching. And then he does the whole Wyatt thing where he goes, bye, bye, which is quite fun. Braun's character is very much, oh, yeah, big man. But it's nice to see him have a bit more personality. Mm-hmm. And I think, like we said off air, we're not so much excited about the match, but more excited about what they're going to do in the feud, because they've got a lot of story to work with. They've got a lot of footage to work with, a lot of Bray genius to work with, I think. So, yeah, I think this could be fun. I do think that Braun is a transitional champion. I do think Bray's going to win it back, which could be where we see Jeff Hardy. I think challenge for the title. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we'll see what happens next.
Could maybe even see Hardy winning Money in the Bank. There might be a thing for him to do.
I can't see Hardy with the briefcase. I can't see someone challenging the Fiend with the briefcase.
That would be weird.
I think it'd be weird. I think the I have a suspicion it's going to be someone on Raw. I think it could be someone like Angel Garza.
That'd be great.
See him carrying around the briefcase. I think it's going to be a heel winning it this year. I just think heels work better with it. I much prefer people threatening to cash in than someone going, I've got a briefcase, I'm going to wrestle you. I much prefer that. I can't see Jeff winning that.
So yeah, I think what you're assuming there though is that Fiend is going to beat Strowman, because if Strowman beats the Fiend, then you know someone could totally cash in on Strowman. Someone could easily cash in on the Universal Champion. But I do think that the Fiend is winning it back. I really liked this Firefly Funhouse. It was classic Bray. It had the whiteboard saying the history of John Cena and Bray Wyatt. And then he says, hold on, I need to rewrite history, and then wipes out history and then rewrites the word history, which I thought was quite funny.
Yeah. And then he's like, hey, John, you're right. We can't see you.
Which was the second time in the night someone had made that joke. I feel like they should have really cross-referenced what other people were saying there, but sure. He's saying, Wyatt was saying he's so happy for Braun, but then the lantern starts talking to him, and he says, no, that was years ago. I'm sure he's learned his lesson by now. And then it shows all the clips of Braun in the Wyatt family and all that stuff. And then he's saying, he brought him in from the swamp and gave him a home, but he turned his back on the family. And then he gets all serious. That's his, serious, intense face. And just says, like, as one circle closes, another begins again. Since I brought you into this world, I'm going to have to take you out. And then Braun responds by saying, whenever you're ready, I'm ready to let you in, mate.
I do like the image of Bray walking through a swamp, meeting Braun and going, do you want to take a minute? Do you want to be a wrestler? I mean, I actually work for the WWE. So if you want a job, I can probably get you one.
And it's probably better than being in the swamp.
Yeah. Well, I guess it's a better life than living in a swamp.
In a swamp.
That's where people live. Yeah. Just him and Shrek.
Yeah, exactly. And the swamp people from Avatar. That's a reference you won't get.
No, I don't.
Not the bad Avatar, the good one. After that was the end of the episode. I thought it was a pretty decent episode of SmackDown. I thought there was some varied storytelling, which is nice. Not every feud feels the same, which is nice. I'm not overly excited by some of the feuds that are coming, but at least they are telling stories and they're building feuds effectively. As a SmackDown after Mania episode, there was nothing really to write home about, but as a building show for Money in the Bank, I thought it was pretty good. I gave it a high 3 out of 5.
Yeah, 3 out of 5. Building matches, not matches we haven't seen before, but at least it returned to being a full SmackDown show, which I appreciated.
Absolutely, yes. No, but seriously, Sunny California, I feel like it's definitely a reference to something. I don't know what, though. I'm going to have to Google that after we're done here. Anyway, Danson, we had Quizlemania on Wednesday, mate.
We did have Quizlemania.
And guess what? You won again.
I did win. It was slightly embarrassing. Because
to win. How embarrassing? To win?
Well, no, so beforehand I'd gone, right, just if it's, I don't know, like, you probably shouldn't win because they need to have, like, the whole idea is that they have lots of new people on it. We have, like, a revolving door of people. Mm-hmm. So they're like, if I don't win, that means you can come back on, or Laurie can come back on. But yeah, it got to the final round and I was like, oh man, it's really close between me and Luke. And then the final question, Luke dropped out really early. And I was like, oh no, I can't lose. But yeah, no, it's fun to win, and it's fun to be on the show. It's a brilliant couple of hours to be part of, and it's really nice to see that everyone's enjoying it so much. It's nice to see that we are kind of giving something for people to watch on a Wednesday night when they may not have anything else to do, given the current climate. So yeah, and this week there were far fewer people accusing me of cheating, which was nice. Although there was one comment saying, "Oh, it's funny how he had his hands up for most of the show, but then one of his hands went into his lap for the last round, as if I somehow had all the answers in my lap." there was one who said, "Oh, he's quite clever, because what you won't realize is that he is cheating, but he's quite clever about it, because so in the last round he realized that Luke had dropped out, so he on purpose said the wrong answer even though he had the Wikipedia page open in front of him." Like, so you thought that I knew what the question was going to be, and already had the Wikipedia page open and opened it without using a mouse or any keys.
I think newfound technology where you can just do stuff with your eyes.
I have Google Glass. No, I understand it's a running joke, but I do, again, assure everyone, I don't care that much.
Totally. That's why we've spent the first, 3 minutes of this outro of the podcast just talking about people.
Absolutely. I wasn't revising. So it's on again this Wednesday. We've got another special guest who I believe will be announced on Monday.
That is correct.
So check out our Twitter on Monday for that one. It's going to be a lot of fun. I imagine there will be possibly some old rounds returning, some of your old favorites, and some, maybe possibly some new ones which might become your favorite round.
Possibly, yeah. If you don't know what we're talking about, Quizlemania is a live stream that we do on our second channel, Parts Fun Known, every Wednesday night, hosted by Adam Blompier, and with a revolving door of guests, unless Datsun keeps winning, in which case it's just going to be Datsun all the time.
It is not going to last. There will be a time where the last three rounds are... The thing is, Adam keeps giving me quite nice answers. So, for example, in the 20 questions rounds, I've had Beth Phoenix and Nikki Bella. Brie Bella.
I mentioned this when I was doing, I did the NXT podcast with Adam earlier in the week. I mentioned this on the NXT podcast as well, because I was watching from home. I watched the whole thing while on my sofa. And on your 20 questions round, when you got Brie Bella out of nowhere, about four questions beforehand, I was screaming at the TV that it was Nikki Bella. And I was like, it's Nikki bloody, but I'm telling you, it's Nikki Bella.
The thing was that I was sure it was a Bella about two or three questions beforehand. But the previous round had a question about Brie Bella in it.
Right. Yeah.
Therefore, I was like, it's not going to be Brie Bella again. But the fact that he said that it was a Divas champion who's been in the last 5 years. But the thing that really got me was that he was like, I said, is she Caucasian?
And he goes,
yes. So I was like, okay, well, it's going to be, okay. So I was like, it's going to be someone who isn't like super white, should we say? Because obviously she's got, I think she's part Mexican. I think she's got.
Might have some Hispanic ties. Yeah.
So I knew he was going to be like, so as soon as he said that, because basically what I was trying to do was narrow it down, because I was like, if she wasn't Caucasian, I was like, okay, well, it can only be like Alicia Fox or someone like that. But yeah, no, so I have had a, I feel like I've, Although that drawing round, he really tried to screw me over because he tried to get me to draw. Not only did he try to get me, tried to draw Austin's heel turn, which I was like, how do I draw either to a man shaking hands with Vince in 30 seconds? I mean, because the thing is, I'm a bad artist.
I mentioned this to Adam as well. I was terrified when that round got introduced because I can guarantee you I am a worse drawer than you.
The invasion, I was like, how do I draw lots of people running into a ring without writing WCW?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you can't draw letters. I mean, you did WWE anyway, but
that was on the ring apron.
Yeah, which doesn't count, right? But yeah, it would be. It's really bloody hard to draw the invasion. I have no idea what I'd draw.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, everyone at the end there, after we went off kind of, what's it called?
Off air.
Everyone went, yeah, I don't know what I would have done there either. I really don't know. other than lots of people going into a ring.
So I
got caught. I think I have been quite lucky. And I think that a lot of people haven't been thinking logically about the first round, the prices poo round. Because like the Nikki Bella thing, not the Brie Bella signed costume. I thought that's quite clearly going to be over $1,000.
Yeah.
Everyone went like $300, $500. Yep. I was just like,
totally. What? Like literally the first number that popped in my head when that came out, I was like, oh, probably about $1,500-ish.
Yeah.
And it turned out to be $1,499.99. Yeah. I was like, right, cool. Imagine if I'd have guessed 1500 though. I'd have been so mad. I'd have been so mad.
I think the key is to stay cool and not care about it too much and not be Ollie, because apparently as soon as you're Ollie, you just lose.
Oh God. Him in the final round is something special.
He just panics.
Like, the pressure just gets to him. He's like, I don't know anything about wrestling anymore. And I totally get that, because I was like that in my 20 questions round on the first Quizlemania. I totally just froze up and I was like, I don't know anything about anyone anymore.
Both times I've had Divas champions, so I've been quite lucky, because the thing is, my era, the era that I know well is 2008 to now, because that's when I was really watching.
Yeah.
If I get, and Adam, I hope you're not listening to this, if I get a late 90s star, I will be lucky if I get it. Unless it's Stone Cold.
I was going to say, unless it's like Stone Cold, The Rock, The Undertaker, Triple H, Shawn Michaels, someone like that, I'm going to be screwed. I don't think I would have got Owen Hart if I was Ollie. If I was in Ollie position, I don't think I would have got it.
That's a big round, because that can be, I mean, as we saw, Luke wouldn't have been anywhere near my score at the end if he hadn't got Cody in three questions.
Yeah, which is mental.
If he'd even taken like five more questions, then the last round, I would have been no pressure on me at all.
Yeah, exactly. Crazy.
But then we did another quiz on
enforced fun.
So this time, because I was sick of people saying I was cheating, I wrote the quiz.
You did, which means you did cheat because you knew all the answers.
I did know all the answers. And Pete, you came second, didn't you? No, you didn't. Or
third. I was first going into the last round, I think.
You were, which I thought was very good, because Adam and his lady partner and Ollie and his lady partner, they were in a team. So you were, you were the highest ranked single star in AEW. So I think that's good. We're going to do a weekly thing. I did a quiz for some of my friends last night. I really like writing quizzes, because I'm a bit of a
same.
I really like pub quizzes. I do a lot of pub quizzes, and I have pub quiz books that I just read and do the questions for myself. So I have a lot of unnecessary and completely pointless knowledge. So I like sitting there writing these quizzes, thinking, oh, these questions are quite easy because I know them, therefore other people must. And then I do them, and then my friends got like 2 out of 10. I was like, oh crap. Was this just things that I know because I've read them, not because they're actually things people know?
General knowledge, exactly.
Yeah.
I thought it was a very good enforced fun quiz, though. I might see if I can write one for next week. We'll see.
Yeah, no, I think you should, Pete. I think
will, mate.
As long as don't do any rounds on like board games, unless it's snakes and ladders.
It's not the plan.
Good.
We'll see. Yeah. I might do stuff. Oh, no, actually, I've just got a plan in my head, which I'm not going to tell you. So, you know what? That's fine. Yeah, anyway, that's probably all the time we've got for this episode of the Wrestle Talk podcast. Thank you very much for listening, everyone. We'll be back on Tuesday with the Raw review, I assume. It's going to be more episodes of Raw now because apparently they're going live
Absolutely.
Each week. The Nutters. So, yeah, stay tuned for the Wrestle Talk podcast. There should be another Wrestle Talk Extra podcast going out on Monday as well from the archive of the Wrestle Talk Extra feed going out on the public feed. So stay tuned for that as well. Thank you very much for listening, everyone. I love you all. Goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.